before the first bird sang its song as the first ray of the sun rose to warm the earth, before the first herb sprouted or the first flower dispersed its fragrance, before the first eyes beheld the stars or the first lips tasted sweetness, before the bleating of the first lamb or the purring of the first kitten, before there was anything in all the world, in the ageless eternity, before the beginning of time, God conceived a plan. It was a plan to create a universe with immense proportions. The people who would inhabit that world that he would make would barely conceive how great and how vast the universe was. Generation after generation would pass by, and little by little, more and more of this universe's greatness was discovered and understood. But even today, its far reaches have not been measured, and all of its glories have not been discovered. It was a plan to create a world of intricate beauty, where creatures interacted with one another in such a perfectly balanced harmony that taking any one of them away would destroy the whole, where each was needed to play its part for the world to live and prosper. It was a world of microscopic proportions, with such intricacy of detail and design. God conceived a plan to give charge of this created world to another creature, bearing the very likeness of the Creator. And so he formed man, taking the dust of the earth and moulding it and shaping it into a being that would carry his likeness. And out of the side of the man, he made woman. They were given dominion. They were to rule over all of creation. They were to govern it. They were to care for the world. They were to watch over it. They were to manage all of its resources. They were to steward all of its riches for the glory of God and for the good of all creation. They were charged to reproduce in God's likeness and fill the whole world with his image bearers. God conceived a plan to reveal the greatness of his love towards those he created in his own likeness, to reflect his goodness and wisdom and power. And so, determining that the length and the breadth and the height and the depths of the love of God should in some way be revealed, he allowed his image bearer to deface his likeness. He allowed his image bearer to wield his will according to his own choice, he allowed his image bearer to rebel against himself. The world, the universe, made so very good and vibrant with the life of God, was plunged under a curse of death. As man had rebelled against God's sovereignty, so now the earth would resist man's rule. As man had defied God's will, so the earth would prostrate man's work. As man had defaced God's beauty, so the earth would reflect man's ugliness. And so the world that was very good and filled with the vibrancy of life was despoiled. It was filled with decay and disease and death, even as the heart of man was now decaying with the disease of sin and rebellion, and was destined to eternal death. But God set in motion his plan, to reveal the greatness of his love to those whom he had created to bear his likeness, who had despoiled and destroyed his image in this world. God set in motion his plan to remove man's just condemnation from him, to take away the sentence of death under which he lived and moved, to restore once again the peace and the harmony with which this world was created and all its creatures were to relate to one another and to their Creator. God set in motion his plan of love. A descendant was promised. A descendant who would destroy the destroyer. A descendant who would come into this world and put death to death. Who would come into this world and cancel sin and all of its consequences. A descendant who would come into this world and would restore life and vibrancy and peace and harmony to this world. God set in motion his plan and promised another Adam. One who would not live as the first Adam had done in willful rebellion against his Creator. Who would not continue the life of death and decay in this world, but a new Adam who would restore and renew and purify. And so children were born to the first Adam. Generation followed generation, and man's wickedness filled the world with death. Brother arose against brother in selfishness and hate, to murder and destroy. And the harmony and the peace that was longed for seemed so far off and evasive. God had a plan, to show the greatness of his love to his creatures who were made in his likeness, who had rebelled against him. And so he sent a man into this world, raised him up in this world. His name was Noah. There was no one like him in all of his generation for his righteousness. And God taught the world through Noah the judgment of death, would be utterly unavoidable unless God's deliverer was followed. There would be no escape from the judgment of death unless the one whom God raised up was followed. And so, seven people followed Noah into an ark. And the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the world was destroyed, except for Noah and those seven upon the ark, and all the animals secure with them in that place of refuge. And the waters receded, and the ark rested upon the land, and the animals went out, and Noah and the seven who took refuge with him. And a new generation began to populate the world once again. Generation followed generation as man's recklessness filled this world with grief. For though there was a new beginning on the surface of this earth, the old heart remained in man. Generation after generation, in their folly, refused to follow. And they filled the world with grief and shame. But God's plan was not forgotten. The plan that God has set in motion to show the greatness of his love to his creatures who were made in his likeness, but who had willfully rebelled against him and destroyed that image. And so God raised up a man from among all the men of this world. He raised up one. His name was Abraham. And God taught the world through Abraham that hope of life would only come to those who trusted the promises of God. That there would be no freedom from guilt, no removal of judgment, no inheritance of life, no hope for the future, unless people trusted the promises of God. And Abraham trusted God and his promises, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he hoped for a new country, a heavenly city whose architect and maker was God himself. But while that hope was certain, and it was secure in the promises of God, he passed from this world without seeing all of its fulfillment. And generation followed generation as man's folly filled the world with destruction. nation rose against nation in animosity and hatred and greed. The heart of man was not changed. The destiny of man remained the same. Under the dark clouds of God's wrath, as they lived their destructive lives, from father to son, and generation to generation. But God had not forgotten his plan. He had not rejected his purpose to reveal the greatness of his love to the creatures that he had made in his own likeness, who had rebelled against him and destroyed that image and come under his condemnation. And God raised up a man from among the men of this world. He raised up a man who would lead his people. He raised up the man Moses. And God taught the whole world through Moses that peace, true peace, lasting peace, peace with God would only be found by those who offered sacrifice for their sin. And so Moses instructed the people to offer sacrifices whenever they sinned, to bring them to the tabernacle and there shed their blood and burn their flesh to make atonement for their sins. Regularly, every day, sacrifice was to be made. At appointed feasts, sacrifice was to be made. On the great annual day of atonement, sacrifice was to be made for the sins of all the nation. But generation followed generation as man's self-love filled the world with shame, refusing to acknowledge the wretchedness of his life and the sinfulness of his own heart. He ignored the holiness of God. He denied the need for atonement. He went on in his willful rebellion against his Creator. But God did not forget his plan to show the greatness of his love to the creatures whom he had made in his image, which image was defaced through the willful rebellion of those who denied him and came under his judgment. And so God raised up a man from among the men of this world, a man who would show the way to freedom and glory. He raised up David. And David would teach the whole world that freedom from tyranny, freedom from oppression, freedom from the slavery of sin would only be gained by those who bowed down to God's anointed. But generation followed generation as man's pride filled the world with pain. For he would not bow down to God and would not acknowledge the Lord's anointed, and instead bow down to idols and confirmed the justice of God's wrath and the sentence of death that man was under. But God did not forget his plan to show the greatness of his love
to those whom he had created in his own image, but who had rebelled against him and were under his curse. In the fullness of time, he came. The man whom God had promised, he came. The second Adam came. The new Noah came. The seed of Abraham came. The Lamb of God came. The Son of David came. He was born in poverty. He was raised in obscurity. He lived in anonymity. He was unrecognized, misunderstood, and unappreciated. But he came. He came to fulfill the plan of God, to show the greatness of his love to his image bearers who had defaced that likeness and were under his curse. This man was raised up among the men of this world. Yet this man was no ordinary man born of woman. He came from the glory of heaven, where angels had unceasingly bowed to worship him. He came in the power of the Spirit of God and was conceived in the womb of the Virgin. And so the divine was meshed with the mortal. He came for a time a little lower than the angels to rescue man and raise mankind up out of the pits of their destructive self-will, to sit on the throne of God beside him. He came, this man, as a servant to men. He came as the new Noah to lead the way to life through judgment. He came as Abraham's seed to fulfill the promise of God and bless the whole world. He came as the Lamb of God to offer a sacrifice for sin and remove its condemnation. He came as the Son of David to reign as God's anointed on the eternal throne. He came. This is Jesus. Another Adam, the glorious Son of God, enfleshed in our humanity. And this Jesus, you killed. This Jesus, you killed. You killed him, as Peter says, by the hands of lawless men, just as if you had been there, crying out, "Crucify him!" Along with the mob, you killed him. Just as if you had hammered the nails into his hands and feet and raised him up upon that cross, you killed him. Just as if you watched and taunted him in his tortured death, you killed him. How can it be? How can it be that you killed him, though you lived 2,000 years after the event? you killed him because you need him. Because you need a new Noah. You need someone to take you into an ark of safety and refuge, to deliver you from God's judgments, from which there is no escape unless you follow the one whom God has appointed. And he is the new Noah, and his body is the ark. You need a seed of Abraham, one who would secure the blessings promised by God in a new creation, a new heaven, a new earth, where righteousness dwells, where there is no more sin and no more sorrow and no more suffering or shame anymore, where all things will be made new and perfect and pure, and even the heart of men and women and boys and girls is so transformed that there will be no more love of sin, no more willful rebellion against God, but a perfect submission to him, and the fullness of joy in knowing him, such rich blessings by the promise of God are brought through the seed of Abraham. You need this seed of Abraham, and Jesus is Abraham's promised seed. You need a Lamb of God. A Lamb of God to present a sacrifice that will atone for all your sin for all of time. Such a sacrifice that though your sins are red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. Such a sacrifice that will remove your sins away from you as far as the east is from the west. You need such a Lamb, and he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the perfect sacrifice that once offered up, you will never need another sacrifice in all of time or all eternity. You need a Son of David who will rule with righteous sovereignty over all things eternally. One to whom all authority in heaven above and on earth and beneath the earth will be given, so that he will rule without limitation. And he will reign for his own glory and for the good of the people entrusted to his care. You need such a Son of David, and Jesus is that eternal King. You see, you need another Adam to represent you, to stand in your place. Another Adam who will live as the divine image bearer and reproduce in his own likeness many, many people who will reflect the image and the glory of God to fill and populate this new creation that he is to bring into existence. And because you need a new Noah, because you need a seed of Abraham, because you need a Lamb of God, because you need a Son of David, because you need a second Adam, Christ died. You killed him because of your need. And he is the only one who can meet your need. He is the last Adam. There will be no other. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men by which you must be saved. And Jesus died there on the cross outside Jerusalem to save his people from their sins. And you must come. You must come to this Saviour. You must come to this one who in his death brings life and reconciliation with God, who in his death reveals the greatness of the love of God towards his creatures who were made in his likeness, but who defiled and destroyed and defaced that likeness through their willful rebellion against him. The love of God is given to sinners. Though while they are still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. This Jesus, this glorious Jesus, you killed. Come to him. Come to him now in repentance. Come to him in faith. Come to him and receive from him with gratitude the life he purchased through his death. You killed him, but he died according to the plan of God, that all who believe in him may have life in place of death. Come to this Saviour. Let's pray. Almighty God, you have the power to penetrate hard hearts, to soften and change, to transform and renew. Be pleased to do this among us, even now, we pray, for the glory and satisfaction of our Saviour Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.